From the University of Winnipeg, this is CKUW 95.9 FM, Campus Community Radio.
Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm your host, Marianne Rose. You are about to embark on a relevant and timely journey of thought with registered psychologist, Dr. Cyrus Dirksen. Thank you for tuning in and expect to be enlightened right now. Hey there, Cyrus.
Hey, Marianne.
Good to see you today.
Good to see you too.
Thanks. Oh, I'm so thankful that I'm here today.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude on the heart. And coming from a place of gratitude from our last couple of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go big today in the way of gratitude. The greatest gratitude, the most grateful, is thinking about the wonder and the beauty of God.
Mm-hmm.
And who he is. And he calls himself Alpha and Omega. And I wanted to talk today about who he is like that. That he is the beginning and the end. The first and the last. And how that encompasses so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such a good topic, I think, to just focus on kind of who God is and how we relate to him and how we know that, what our experiences are, how he relates to us in our lives, how to understand what's happening in our lives through that lens. It's huge, right? It shapes our lives to know how you see God. I think one of the major underpinnings of how we live our life, how we experience our life, is how we see God. And I think everybody ends up having a perspective, and those are all important, and we need to look at it.
I think about my beginning and my not yet end, but what I know from beginning and end, when I think about the birth of my children, and when I think about the passing of my mother, and I think about that in the body is so different than what it looks like in eternity. I have a beginning. I will have an end. And those things are so surreal. Thinking about the birth of a child and the death of a loved one. But he is the beginning and the end. And there isn't a beginning or an end in him or with him. So if I'm already awestruck by this in the body, the existence that I'm having, if I bring that awareness to how I know him and he's beyond that, my mind is blown.
It's often triggered in our lives when we have birth experiences, death experiences, when we have nature experiences. We can kind of, you know, have a feeling of awe. We can have a feeling of exiting our daily grind that we're in, the daily tasks that distract us. And all of a sudden, in those moments, you think of something bigger. You potentially realize there is something bigger. How could there not be something bigger? Or, you know, these kinds of questions, answers kind of come into us. And it's amazing where we can go and how the answers to those questions kind of shape everything. You know, all of our experiences can be filtered through that in a more negative way, a more positive way, a feeling of in control or out of control. And that affects how we live. It affects our mental health, affects the decisions we make, and we pass them on. So this is huge. It's huge. Like, how do you see God? Who is he in your life? It's fundamental.
Yeah. What you just shared about the in control, out of control, and then you know there's something bigger, reminded me of a pretty serious event in my life where my mom was transferred from a hospital she'd been living in out of the city, one of these smaller rural hospitals. They didn't have a bed for her in a personal care home for 9 months. And when she was transferred, it was a 40-minute drive from the hospital to the personal care home that had space for her. But the vehicle that they were taking her in didn't have an oxygen tank. And there was only minimal times that they had up until that point had her off oxygen. So this felt really serious. And I was driving behind the vehicle that they were transporting her in, that I knew this was going on. And I knew that she'd probably be struggling for breath between the two buildings, the travel time. And I was playing a song in my car called It's Okay. And it just brought so much peace to the moment. It was like, no matter what, no matter how scary this seems, no matter how she hasn't done well, and it's already been looking like she's so close, and it was actually, it was only a week later, within a week, and it had a lot to do with even the new facility not having the same levels of oxygen for her, so she was quite low. And so she was gone very quickly after, and we kind of knew that, but I still just knew in my gut, in my spirit, and this song helped so much. It's okay.
It's okay.
but I still just knew in my gut, in my spirit, and the song helped so much. It's okay. And I just knew it was.
What a beautiful story to kind of feel connected. You know, people obviously have different beliefs about whether God exists or what that looks like. I feel like it's not that big of a leap to get to the place where you say there's something bigger, something greater. I feel like that's a step. I feel like it almost takes more faith, more of a leap to believe that there isn't. And I know that kind of idea of a secular world, you know, a godless world has become more popular in, you know, the Western culture. But it's still, I think, rare in the earth. People often feel like they get tripped up on the idea that there is a God, but I feel like it's more they get tripped up when they think about what that God is like and the character of God. And in that moment, you know, you felt a God of peace, you know, you felt that, like, comfort in that moment. And I feel like, you know, from my perspective, that's kind of what God wants to bring to people's lives. He wants to bring lots of things, but one of them is an experience of peace, a feeling of connectedness, which you had, right? You're like, oh, it's going to be okay. And I feel like sometimes people have a hard time getting there. People have a hard time believing in a God that could actually bring peace and help you to feel connected.
It's part of what you focus on as well. And I do believe that there is a spiritual encounter and a life-giving thing that happens that's deeper than what you might experience with your emotions and even in the physical, although it goes into those areas as well. When you focus on, and even just for a moment, consider what his character might be if you're looking at him as love. And that's who I would love for people to encounter him as. God is love. And knowing that about him first and believing and just even putting your focus on, oh, you are love. And love is peace-giving. And love is like a warm blanket. And love is tender. And I'm going to be okay if I know that I'm loved. And so that focus is intentional. You choose that. I chose to think about him listening to that song, knowing that he was the one singing it over me is what it felt like.
Yeah. One of the arguments or one of the ideas about God's existence and his character that I really appreciate is this idea of beauty. You know, you're like, oh, is God good? Could he actually want peace for you in that moment? Would he want to connect with you and give you comfort in that difficult moment? What evidence do we have? Is that just wishful thinking? And I think about just walking through the woods, and not only are we here, I mean, you kind of have these, like, how could a human being end up living on a planet hurtling through space with all the cosmic radiation, all this stuff? Like, how could this be that we're here? That's enough, I think, just to ask that question. But then you get to the question of, like, but I'm walking in the woods and I'm experiencing beauty. And it's like, I think we could live without beauty. I think we could exist without beauty. I think we could be here without experiences of comfort. Why do we have an experience where there's dappled sunlight coming through clouds and tree branches over glistening water with fresh breezes? You know, like, this is so unnecessary. You know, like, you talk about the character of God, like, who is God in these moments? You're talking about this beautiful experience that you're having. And it's like, well, God is there and he's giving us this kind of picture of himself where it's like, if you're evil, God, or if you don't exist, why such beauty? Why such comfort? Why such an experience of awe when we don't need that? We just need food and water and, you know, a few basics and the ability to reproduce and off we go. But he's given us this picture of goodness that is so accessible. It's just outside your door. If you're in Winnipeg right now, you might be like, well, I can't go outside. Well, if you do, go outside.
Yeah.
I mean, just ask my wife. She loves winter. It's like, you could argue it's even more beautiful in the winter. Even in the cold and the kind of grip of death, if you look at it in a certain way. We were just looking at humidity. It's more dry in Winnipeg than in the Sahara Desert. So even in this, like, dry, you know, kind of formidable environment, it's still gorgeous. And it's this amazing, glistening kaleidoscope of light and color and so unnecessary. And it's just like, who is God? Just think about that. Who is a God that would create that for us and make that something that anybody can access almost at any moment? And even if it's like, well, it's night, it's even more beautiful, arguably, at night. If you go outside and just take in, like, go outside the city and, like, take in the stars. And it's like, it's an incredible experience if you're actually in the dark and you look up. Mm-hmm. Again, so unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, why would we have that other than God is a God of beauty, mm-hmm. and a God who's giving us this experience of awe that's so beyond us? I just love that picture of, like, God's character as this artist who's giving us an experience of awe.
Yes. And you can choose to look at the ground
mm-hmm.
and only see the gray.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose to shut down the emotional encounter
mm-hmm.
and enter into a spiritual encounter. I advise you to try. Like, you'll just come alive in the searching.
Mm-hmm.
If you search for him, he will be found.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so even just being curious about mm-hmm. it and opening up to wonder
mm-hmm.
beyond your own immediate thing that you see, like if it looks dead. And I love that you said, even in the deadness of winter, because what happens in the deadness of, for example, like a seed goes into the ground and it dies, but it comes to life. There's something that goes on in the death of winter where things are renewed in the life of spring.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment that something felt like it was over.
Yeah.
It never was, because in him it was still alive. So that's the way I think about him too, being the end, is that he is and so it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Alpha and Omega, but it doesn't actually end in him, because what looks like death to us is going to be turned around in the spring.
It's so true. And you might be like, well, there's all of this terrible stuff that happens, and it's true, there's difficult things that happen in life, and you can make that argument. But I think that one of the things you have to notice in life is that oftentimes the difficult things are coming from us. I think beautiful things can come from people too. You have beautiful, wondrous, comfort oriented connecting things coming from people, but just in the same way, the dark things that kind of take away from the beauty of the world, they come from us. We're the ones making this choice. Even the idea of choice. I mean, it's just interesting how we kind of look at the world and we just assume that that's the way it has to be. It does not have to be that way. There are so many things that we do. We could be running on instinct, but we're not running on instinct. I mean, there's a lot of instinct. Don't get me wrong. I am a psychologist. I know how much we're kind of controlled by, you know, the forces of our emotions and things like that. But I still believe that there is choice there. And just that alone is this beautiful thing that's so unnecessary, to be able to have the choice, which is this huge dignified thing, and you can get offended at because people make bad and painful choices. But again, it's coming from us, and it's coming from this dignified thing of giving people freedom. And there's a price to have freedom, for sure. And so it's just interesting to think about the character of God. Like, who is God? Well, he's a God of beauty. He's a God of dignified choice, where he's like, he wants to give you a choice. And I feel like that's so unnecessary and yet so clear in our experience of each other and our experience of the world, is that there is this choice that we make. And I think that's another part of who he is, just kind of allowing us to be and to choose our lives and what we want to do. And that would be another big piece that's right there.
And the opportunity that you have in the moment of choice for your own focus towards yourself to lift out of darkness, to be able to have it where it's just like, actually, you know what? I'm only working on me here. I don't really need to fix you. This is my own personal experience. And now I can have this encounter of growth. And the opportunity to enter into peace about it, like where I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to sweat this, because it's really between me and God what goes on here. I don't have to worry about this other person. Sure, we've got things going on where other people's actions affect us, mm-hmm. but how we're handling it is between us and him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we enter into
mm-hmm.
this other place of being able to encounter him mm-hmm. in that it's okay-ness. Yeah.
It's an amazing thing to kind of think about you and God and making a choice and that process that's there. I mean, one of the other things that you can kind of see about the character of God just in the basic fundamentals of how our universe is made is the fact that there exists something called time. Now, again, time is one of those things that just feels automatic. It feels like, of course there's time, Cyrus. How could you have a universe without time? And it's like, well, you could have a universe without a lot of things that we just take for granted as existing, like light or gravity or all kinds of forces. But yes, there is time, and time fluctuates and shifts, and you could argue that in some places it's very short and long, and we have this kind of defined amount of time, and it's like, well, why would God create time? And I think it's this basic proclamation over us of mercy, where it's like, you make a choice, but then you have time. You have time to make another choice. And he surrounds us with all kinds of natural and organic processes that tell us that he's a God of development. He's a God that allows grace in development. You have all these organisms around us that are growing and learning and changing and developing, and he creates that process in us, which is basically this declaration of grace over his creation, which is like, he's a God of patience because he created time. He didn't need to. And he's a God of second chances because you have more than one choice. You have the time to make those choices. You have the examples around you in order to be able to make better choices, these experiences, and to relate and to communicate. And it's like, there's another just fundamental declaration of grace spoken out through the existence of time and the ability to make multiple choices. He didn't have to do that. He could have just given us a choice, but he gave us time in order to make so many choices through our lives.
That's reminding me of the scripture, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that in place is something that I've encountered where I believe that I'm actually in him, in God. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
That's wondrous and wild and weird and beautiful. And that's where I am. Mm-hmm. That's where I am positioned. That's who surrounds me that I'm always in that place. And if I realize that when these things are going on in the grace of time, then I, again, am okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the being surrounded by him in all of those difficult places. And I also love that you used the word freedom, because it gives freedom for you to do that with yourself when you know that you're in him always.
Mm-hmm.
Then you are able to give that freedom to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift that you give yourself by knowing that you're in that place of total acceptance, not having condemnation. And then you can give the gift of no condemnation for others, and it is freedom giving. And that's how you can communicate in a healthy way.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. His character is everywhere. And I think it's also kind of in our relationships with people. The fact that he surrounded us with people who are created and we can demonstrate these characteristics of God in our lives. And he even gives us stories. I feel like it's just these things that are just taken for granted, that God would give us experiences of his grace through each other, through even our way of reproducing, where we have small children and we raise them up. It's like he's speaking over our lives again and again, how the universe works, how he operates in it through growth and care and development, and how we function better when we're under care than when we're under punishment. All these things are just this proclamation of his intention over us. Health comes when you love. And it's like, oh, this love is good. And it's speaking about who he is, that he gave us the opportunity to have it. I feel like there's this proclamation over it, and we just don't see it because it's so normal. And we feel like it's something that just has always been and has to be that way. And I feel like that's a big mistake, to believe that things have to be this way. They don't have to be. Love does not have to be the thing that makes people healthy. This is not the way it needs to be. And yet we take it like, oh, well, love has always been there and love is the thing that makes people better. And it's like, it does not have to be that way. That is not a necessary order of a universe. It is just a proclamation. That's a choice that God made, where it's like he's talking to us about who he is and how we can flourish. And it's sad when we just take those things for granted.
Oh, my. Just thinking about the proclamation of God having just come through the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And that we had the story of the angels coming into the air, mm-hmm. and speaking of his arrival on the earth as a man, mm-hmm. in the form of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was peace and goodwill,
mm-hmm.
to all men was a proclamation that was to begin with, mm-hmm. that birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have this story of a new birth, mm-hmm. in our own lives that, mm-hmm. we can encounter and enter into.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about the beginning, that it started there.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something recently that I thought that was so beautiful, is that when he came, he was already proclaimed as king,
mm.
as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are experiencing your infancy in your own life, in any kind of area that you know you have yet to develop in, perhaps underdeveloped, you haven't even been born,
mm-hmm.
and this part of your life that's going to come forward is already given that proclamation of goodwill on it.
Mm.
So you can enter into this becoming like a king, mm. in this way, where, mm-hmm. the Bible talks about us being kings and, mm-hmm. priests,
mm-hmm.
because of his new gift of himself to us, that we can have this new life, this new birth, being born again. And then because of that, we end up,
mm-hmm.
with this title.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild, but it's like the bigness of who we are ends up being part of what helps us to overcome,
mm-hmm.
some of these struggles too. It's just like, oh, God, mm-hmm. is so big.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
he's got this, and I'm in him, so we've got this.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Cyrus.
Thank you, Marianne.
Well, that was an honor to get to spend that time with you. Appreciate you tuning in. Please check out more of Dr. Cyrus at maplecrestchurch.ca and at drcyrusdirksen.com. Thanks again, and tune in next time for Bridging the Gap. I'm Marianne Rose.
I've let you down. You're always there.